The painstaking and overwhelming process of assessing the damage.
They know what was there prior to this incident, and then they're going to go assess and see what happened.
And looking for bodies.
We've had a lot of elderly residents who may live alone, may not have any living relatives, may only, you know, have had contact with their neighbors. So there may be people out here who there is no missing persons report.
It's January 14th. This is the LA Local, sponsored by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. As we record this, the good news is the wind today hasn't been so bad. But the National Weather Service is now saying the worst conditions will be late Tuesday night into Wednesday afternoon. So we're trying to get over the hump without any new challenges, and that hump keeps getting longer. As always, updates 24/7, 97.1 FM, 1070 AM. Ask your smart speaker to play KNX News. Get the Odyssey app. Search for KNX News. Today we're talking with Emily Valdez. Emily, where exactly are you right now?
I am on Santa Anita Avenue on Wapello Street, way up in the burn zone in Altadena. I mean, this is one of the many neighborhoods that is completely, well, it's gone, decimated. I mean, there's a few homes standing, but for the most part, the homes are rubble.
And I should note that we're talking to you on one of our new Starlink satellite hotspots because, and you could tell us firsthand, that connectivity to our reporters, to people who are out there, has been one of the biggest challenges all throughout this, right?
Absolutely. We did not have these in the very beginning, and we've covered other situations where when you have these types of natural disasters or even a large amount of people trying to use one cell tower at a time, you can't get through. So I was having to come up to the fire burn zone, the active burn zone, get video, and then go down and find a place where I had bars on my phone so I could get a connection to report out to our audience. We got these Starlinks in now, and it's on top of my car. It's a little mini. I did have to position it to where it's hitting the satellite, but yeah, I have a signal. And that's one thing, the firefighters up here, they have them too. That's how I learned about them in the first place. How are you getting a signal? Well, we have Starlink, but this is, the average person is not going to have this. So we're going to call it a dead zone for communication.
They are in short supply in Southern California. I got one, I think the only one left in any store that I could find in Orange County on Sunday night. And then we learned that SpaceX was providing Starlink devices for first responders and people providing public information. And so we were able to get some additional ones from them. So that has, you know, solved our communication problem. It doesn't solve the problem for a lot of people in the area. And as we know, when these disasters progress, one thing that happens is cell phone towers will initially work if they haven't burned up. And then in some cases, they run out of fuel for their generators. And then after days and days, might stop working. So that part of the situation might even get worse.
Right. And if you're up here, this is such a dangerous zone, and you get into an emergency, you can't call for help. You're on your own. You know, there is no landline up here. You can go knock on a neighbor's home. You're on your own. So the Starlink has been key for us getting vital information out to our audience, to our listeners, and the people evacuated.
So crews have been out there surveying the damage, and we've seen these maps that they've put up in the LA County recovery site, recovery.lacounty.gov, where you can actually click on your property and see if somebody's been there to take a photo of the damage. And for people who can't get in, that's a huge thing. But now part of what they're doing is going sort of systematically through these neighborhoods and trying to find bodies. And that is a horrible thing to think about.
Yeah, and in fact, there's a search and rescue team just 30 feet away from me at this property. I just happened to pull up and park here, and now this happens to be the property they're coming to. So it's a several-pronged approach when it comes to inspecting the properties. First, we have the inspection people come by, just quickly snap photos. Is your house here? Is it destroyed? Minimally damaged? Majorly damaged? No damage. And that is what is uploaded to the recovery website, which we have a link on our website, knxnews.com, where people can go just get a look at their house, get look at their property, and so they don't have to wonder, is my home there? How bad is it? They will take pictures. And with that, they also will tag some, like, say, if there's a fireplace or chimney that's about to fall, they'll put a red and white tag on it. And they do kind of just a cursory glance over where they see, like, hey, could there be somebody that didn't get out? Is there a car in the driveway that's packed full of belongings, but it's there? Was there a missing persons report? So they go in and do kind of a cursory look through. I'm not sure what stage these search and rescue crews are at right now. They look like they're doing a more in-depth. Yes, they are. So they're coming out here with some equipment. There's probably about five or six of them, and they're going over this property right here on the corner with a fine-tooth comb. They do have some equipment. They're prodding and just looking through everything for any sign that a person would be there. Of course, if they find something, then they have yet another crew has to come out and confirm the remains and make sure that it's safe for the medical examiner to come and remove the bodies, because that has been an issue. It hasn't been safe for the medical examiner, as I understand, to come in and actually remove the bodies in many of these cases, eight of them so far.
One thing that's occurred to me, and I don't know if it has stuck out to you, but after the fire in Lahaina in Maui, we had this ballooning number of people who were reported missing that at one point was 1,000 people. And then that number was whittled down very significantly. We didn't have that huge number of people reported missing here. That number's been in the dozens, and it's held there.
That's correct. I also understand that this is a neighborhood, especially up here in Altadena, where we've had a lot of elderly residents who may live alone, may not have any living relatives, may only, you know, have had contact with their neighbors. So there may be people out here who there is no missing persons report.
Yeah.
But the number of missing people, as I understand it, has actually grown because everybody's been able to connect. Once you're out of the evacuation zones, the cell phones work. So that's a little different from being on like the island of Hawaii. If you get down into Pasadena, you can make a phone call. Yeah. If you're, you know, you get to Santa Monica, you can make a phone call and kind of try and track everybody down or go on social media. But here, the numbers have not changed.
Yeah.
And that's scary.
And nothing, you know, sadder to me than what you just pointed out, you know, people who, for whom there's nobody to report them missing. It's just a crushing thing.
Right. These are longtime residents. The homes have been in the family for generations. I've driven by some of the addresses. I'm not going to say which ones, and looked to see who was lived there doing a reverse address search. And the residents were elderly. And unfortunately, that I know in the one case of Victor Shaw, he was disabled. And he didn't want to leave, but he also had a disability. There's a Charles Mortimer, I believe he was in his 80s, another fire victim, elderly.
We've heard estimates of in the months for people to get back into their homes. How long do they think that this search part of the operation is going to take? Do we know?
No one has that. No one knows. You know, and you have to understand, it's not like we have anything to measure this off of. Oh, yeah. Well, in this fire, you know, this is the big one. This is the big fire. So we don't really have a metric to go off of. They don't have a metric to go off of. It is such dangerous conditions up here. I mean, there's still fire or light post, you know, electrical posts that are ready to topple over. It's a mess. I mean, they have done a pretty good job of cleaning it up so the first responders can get through, but there's still a lot of places up here where it's not safe to even drive down the street. So, I don't even want to guess, but it's not going to be next week. I'll tell you that. And if I were somebody that lived up here in this really hard hit area, I'm sure, you know, different areas are going to be different. But if you live in one of the really hard hit areas, I would plan on a few months, because it's that bad. And there's so much to go through here. We're talking miles of destruction.
It is that bad, and that is the unfortunate and horrific reality. And Emily, thank you for what you're doing to bring us these descriptions and this information that we'd have a hard time getting otherwise. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Yep, this is my job. This is, you know, I hope we can be a help to our listeners. I really do.
And that's the LA Local for this 14th of January. Sponsored by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. See the inventory, all 12 dealerships, lacarguy.com. Nonstop live coverage, 97.1 FM, 1070 AM. Ask your smart speaker, play KNX News on the Odyssey app. Follow KNX News. I'm Alex Silverman. Stay safe. Take care.